राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जैया गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधि सेवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की दाई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु वंशी गौरंग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 20, entitled The Rainy Season and Atom, text number 7. Tapa Krishna Deva Midha Asit Varsya Yasi Mahi Jataiva Kamyata Pasas Tanu samprapya tat phalam tapa krishna deva midha asid varsya yasi mahi jataiva kamyata pasas tanu samprapya tat phalam Tapa Krishna Deva Midha Asid Varsya Yasi Mahi Jathaiva Kamyata Pasas Tanu Samprapya Tat Phalam Christian Tapakrisha, emaciated by the summer heat. Devamitha, mercifully sprinkled by the god of rain. Asit became Barsiyasi, fully nourished. Mahi, the earth, Yata Eva, just as. Kamya, based on sense gratification. Tapasaha, of one whose austerities. Tanuhu, the body. Samprapya, after obtaining that of those austere practices. Phalam, the fruit. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The earth has been emaciated by the summer heat, but she became fully nourished again when moistened by the god of rain. The earth was like a person whose body has been emaciated by austerities, undergone for material purpose, but who again becomes fully nourished when he achieved the fruit of those austerities. Purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows, quote, before the rainfall, the whole surface of the globe became almost depleted of all kinds of energies and appears very lean. After the rainfall, the whole surface of the earth became green with vegetation and appears very healthy and strong. Here, a comparison is made to the person undergoing austerities for fulfillment of material desires. The flourishing condition of the earth after a rainy season is compared to the fulfillment of material desires. Sometimes, when a country is subjugated by an undesirable government, persons and parties undergo severe penance and austerities to get control of the government. And when they obtain control, they flourish by giving themselves generous salaries. This is also like the flourishing of the earth in the rainy season. Actually, one should undergo severe austerities and penance only to achieve spiritual happiness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that tapasya or austerities should be accepted for realizing the Supreme Lord. By accepting austerities in devotional service, one regains his spiritual life. And as soon as one regains his spiritual life, he enjoys unlimited spiritual bliss. But if someone undertakes austerities and penances for some material gain, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the results are temporary and are desired only by persons of less intelligence. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Om Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Rupaswami Namini. Namom Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine. Bancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo. The speaker canceled, so I have to cover, so I have absolutely no time to prepare this. It's a very fantastic topic to dive in, and it would have been nice
to have a little time to think about it and prepare. The descriptions of the autumn season, the rainy season in Vrindavan, is just very beautiful, very poetic. But Srila Sukadev Goswami now is drawing an analogy of the flourishing of the land after summer. Everything becomes dry, and then with the rainy seasons, things become so beautiful and so lush that Srila Sukadev Goswami makes this comparison to tapasis, or to this type of transcendentalist. Actually not, sorry. In this case, it's not a transcendentalist. It's someone who actually undergoes austerities for the purpose of material elevation or some material gain. And so when one obtains the fruit of these material austerities, then there is a temporary flourishing, material flourishing. We can see that the manifestations of everything in this material world is of a nature of, the term is described as asaswatam, which means temporary, comes and goes. So we leave this material world is ruled by the principle of duality. So sometimes it's this way, sometimes it's that way. So it goes cyclically like that. Comes and goes, comes and goes. So at one moment flourish, another moment dwindles, and then flourish and dwindles like that. So for someone who performs austerities for material purposes, it is described that this is less intelligent because it's of a temporary nature. Austerities are very important. In fact, austerities is the path that leads to actually self-realization. And a famous verse, can't remember the Sanskrit, but is Maharaj Rishabdev instructing his sons that one should perform this divya tapa or this divine type of austerity. That is the purpose of human life. Human life is meant to perform this divya tapa. Tapa means austerities, and divya means divine or transcendental. Human life is meant for that. If human life is not used for that purpose, for that divya tapa, then it's not better than animal life. It is described as not better than animal life because it misses the point, it misses the essence of this human birth, of this human form of life. And just like animals that are completely covered by the identification with the bodies, animals only live to fulfill the necessities of the body. So, sleeping, mating, eating, and defending. That's it. So when human life is directed simply to advance and to upgrade one's capacity to fulfill these things, then it's not better than human, than animal life. It's just a much more advanced animal, or if so to say, like that. In the Bhagavatam also, Prabhupada quotes this verse quite often, that the source of the, that the, this bodily conception of life and how it affects different levels and aspects of human purposes, and completely leads them to be no better than a cow and an ass. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke. That if one considers the self, the atma, to be just this bag of three elements, tridatuke, datu means elements. So you have, you know, this pitta, vayu, and kapha, fire, air, and earth. So these are the three elements that main elements, the dominant elements of the human, of the bodies, of a body like that. And if one considers the self to be this bag of these three elements, this combination of three elements, and yasadna buddhi kunapetri swadi kalatradishu bhagma ijyati, and one considers the land of birth to be worshipable, one recognizes so much with one's society, culture, land like that. Especially nowadays we have this strong resurgence all over the world of nationalism, that people are, countries are, and societies are standing by their groups, by their culture, and that they consider to be the rightful thing to do. Our people goes first, our land goes first, so we are nationalists. And so the Bhagavatam also puts those, so you consider the self to be the body, you consider the land to be worshipable, and then yatirta buddhi shalilena karhi chit, then you go to places of pilgrimage. This is for the materialistic, the karmakandis, pious people who simply, for a matter of ritual, for a matter of elevation, of a better situation in the heavenly planets, etc., etc., they perform rituals and religious rituals, and they go to places of pilgrimage, but simply to take bath, but have no interest in pursuing self-realization and obtaining transcendental knowledge from the saintly persons who dwells in these places of pilgrimage. No interest on hearing, but simply for a matter of a ritualistic performance, you do that, and it's simply like taking a bath in a sacred river, like an animal will do, like an elephant. It is described that the elephant goes into the river and cleanses himself very, very nicely. But then as soon as it comes out, it throws, you know, dirt again on his body. Yatirtas Buthi Salirena Kanji Yagyeshu Abhigyeshu Saeva Gokara. Go means cow, kara means us. So because of this Avigyeshu, lack of knowledge and intelligence, they are not better than an ass and a cow. Not better intelligence like that. Can you tell to lower the voice? Jitendra. Can you tell Jitendra to lower the voice? So, so one have to, the purpose of life is self-realization. That's the actual goal of life. That's the purpose of human life. And the means to do that is austerities. But austerities, when is not deviant, is not for the purpose of self-realization, is used for the purpose of obtaining a material fruit. The fact is that austerity is a principle of action. That anything that we like to achieve requires a sacrifice. Every type of things that we need to that that we have as a goal, that we desire to obtain, requires a sacrifice. Everything has a price. And it requires, you know, to undergo or to fulfill the cause of that, a sacrifice. So one have to have a clear intelligence and understanding of what the goal is. Sometimes we hear in these books that helps people become better at what they do, that they need to know what is their north. They compare that, you know, when you're doing navigation, you have to know where your pole star in the north is, where the north is. So then once you know the north, then you can ubicate yourself and you can know if you go, okay, north is there, so east is there, and like that, you know, you have the map and you can, you know, go to where you have to go. If you don't have the north clear, then your effort is going to lead you to a place that you just, you know, it was not what you actually were looking for. We know in history that Columbus wanted to go to India, and he landed in Dominican Republic. You know, in the Caribbean, South America. So, if our intelligence is not clear, and specifically if our intelligence is not purified, we cannot perform this deviant tapa. Therefore, with a contaminated intelligence, then our austerities is just going to lead us to a position we may obtain by our austerities, the fruit of these austerities. But if the goal of these austerities started with a contaminated intelligence, then it will be a temporary fruit and you will fall down again. to square number one. So it's a very bad bargain. It's a very bad thing. I mean, imagine that you put your effort so much on something, and then when you're at the peak of that effort, then you find out that, oh, no, this is not the right thing, and then boom, you have to start all over again. It's a scary thing. It's very frustrating. So that's the position of materialistic people. Lord Brahma also tells this very fact in this very, very famous verse in the prayers of Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. He says, He says, what is it? Let me try to remember it because I didn't prepare this. He basically say that the devotees, that he first glorified the devotees, those who actually take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the principle is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So those who take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, for them, the crossing of this ocean of material existence becomes very easy. As easy as to jump over the water accumulated in the hoof print of a calf. So the ocean shrinks into the side of a, you know, little hoof print of a calf. And the lotus feet of the Lord is like a boat that have this capacity of shrinking the ocean of material existence. And then he say, all others who dismiss or who actually neglect to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, their intelligence is polluted. Abhishuddha Buddhaya, how should it go? I just need the first word and then it goes. Abhishuddha Buddhaya. Okay, I can remember. He says this because of this Abhishuddha Buddhaya. Abhishuddha means polluted intelligence. Buddha, Buddhaya or Buddhi means intelligence. Abhishuddha, Shuddha means pure. Abhishuddha means very impure. Not just impure, but very impure. And one thing, one may think that one is very, very in a great position and free from different, you know, you are in control. In your mind, you are in control. You're liberated. You're free. You're in the greatest position. And then they undergo this, with this polluted intelligence, a person undergoes these severe austerities to obtain the fruit that they think is the parampadam, the supreme position. So that's, if I have my goal, my material goal, I want to be in the heavenly planets. I want to be the president of this country. I want to be a rich person. I want to be whatever you want to be. You know, this is the country of your, we get this message, we grow with this message. You pursue your dreams. If you focus and you work hard, you will obtain your dreams. You know, you persevere and work hard, you will fulfill your dreams. This is the American dream. You know, it defines our, you know, the culture in which we grow, Western culture. So you work hard and pursue that. So that dream, according to our polluted, very polluted intelligence, impure intelligence, lead us, you know, to work very hard. And after working very hard, some of us may obtain that supreme position that in our mind is the greatest thing. But padanti adho nadrita, padanti adho, you know, very soon you will fall from that position of illusory sort of supremacy and then fall down again. Why? Because padanti adho nadrita yushman angrayaha, because you neglect taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. So, without being at the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no possibility to have the proper intelligence to act in such a way, and acting means performing this deviant tapa. To perform this divine austerities that will allow to flourish not only materially but spiritually. And be happy, be peaceful. Because Krishna defines the process of bhakti to Arjuna in the second chapter as buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means, you know, action with proper discrimination, with transcendental knowledge, with intelligence. So with this proper discrimination, knowing what is right and what is wrong, then with this transcendental knowledge, we take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna by taking shelter on the spiritual master, and then perform our tapasya. And for the tapasya is prescribed by the spiritual master, the different sacrifices and austerities that are prescribed for us, and with the understanding that these things are for the pleasure of Krishna, because he is not only the proprietor of everything, the Ishavasya principle, but also he is our best well-wisher. And therefore, when we are actually situated in this position, we can be happy and peaceful and progress in our spiritual life. What is it? Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Shruhidan sarvabhutanam gyattaman chanti richati shanti. You have a peace, happiness. So this is the the point that was developed in the purport by Srila Prabhupada's explanation in Krishna book about this verse. Any comments or questions? That on? That I think is either number one or number two. You have to bring the volume up a little bit. No, that is there's a fader. Don't touch those buttons. Okay, that's it.
You were describing the uselessness in some sense, taking into account the purpose of self-realization to perform some sort of austerity that's to enhance, you know, eating, sleeping, mating. It seems not such a clear-cut thing, the transition to performing austerities with the purpose of self-realization. So I was wondering if you could perhaps touch on what helps someone to make that transition to performing austerities for the purpose of self-realization versus for some sort of material enhancement.
You need a devotee. You need to, actually, the only way to obtain transcendental knowledge is one have to come in contact with a bhakta, with a devotee. Otherwise, it's not clear. The north is not, the goal is not perfectly aligned. So one have to take shelter of a devotee. Devotee is considered tattva darshi, someone who actually has darshan of the absolute truth. And thus, he can actually, and what a tattva darshi gives to us, he gives us the understanding that we are parts and parcel of Krishna. That's 4:35. After the Tadvidhi Pranipatena verse, then the next verse, so when one surrenders to the spiritual master, then the spiritual master, the next verse says, by being fully satisfied with that surrender attitude, then he delivers transcendental knowledge, which helps us understand that we're eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. We belong to Krishna. So then things start to align. Without it, then it's not. Because even transcendentalists, now I remember the verse when Lord Brahma said, he's referring to impersonalists, which is a transcendentalist with an incomplete understanding of the absolute truth. And because of that incomplete understanding, the intelligence is also polluted. And because of that pollution, then they fall down again. Because at the end, without taking shelter of the lotus feet, then there is no, you can be an impersonalist that is able to actually achieve this merging into Brahman effulgence, but then they have to fall down again. Because even obtaining that goal for an impersonalist, this Sayuya Mukti, then they have to fall down again because they didn't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So still it's considered that there is some selfish motivation. There's something that is not fully in place. It's incomplete. So the verse goes, Jeniera Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. Mukta. Even in their mind, they think they're liberated. Jeniera Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. Tvayi Ashtavava Abhishuddha Buddhaya. Arudhyo Krichena Padam Padantata. Padanti Anodadrita Yusman Angrajaha. That all others who don't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, even if they are these transcendentalists who are impersonalists, who don't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, in their mind they may think they're liberated, but they're not, because their intelligence is still contaminated. And even after going to great, great austerities to obtain that supreme destination in their mind, they fall down again. So the whole thing is that you need to be under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And we obtain the lotus feet of the Lord by taking shelter on the lotus feet of the spiritual master. We pray every morning to the lotus feet of the spiritual master when we offer Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. Sri Guru Charana Padma. Sri Guru Charana Padma, that the lotus feet of the spiritual master are the only way we can obtain the mercy of Krishna. So, you know, like that. So it's the spiritual masters, the devotees, they give us the lotus feet of Krishna because they are situated in, fully situated in the lotus feet of Krishna. So Prabhupada, the devotees are usually Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Vishnupad. They are the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So because of that, then we can take shelter of the lotus feet of this Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, it remains external, it remains material. And therefore, the fruits are temporary. So,
I have one more question. Thank you for the response. there's mention that like the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, persons go through that, and at some point they come to what you were describing, contact with the devotee that gives the entrance into the bhakti path of self-realization. So it's still just that idea that it's kind of a progressive path, even going through Karmakanda to come to the point of taking shelter of a devotee. It still seems there has to be some sort of awareness or conscious understanding on the part of a person who is performing Karmakanda that, you know, there must be something greater, something more than just material benefit. So is it that I've not seen clearly that there is, it's almost implied that a person following Karmakanda will come to a more evolved understanding. Is there something mentioned that, again, bridges that gap?
Yeah, it's a natural progression. It's how Krishna designed it because of the different levels of consciousness that are there. So the Vedic system is designed as a ladder. So it's described like the yoga ladder. So you start with this karmakanda, which is basically you fulfill your, it's taking into consideration the strong bodily conscious that afflicted, you know, the particular condition soul. And then because of that, you're not ready to for anything else. But okay, so here's a way you can fulfill your desires in a regulated manner according to religious principles. So it's a very controlled thing. So then while performing sacrifices for the purpose of obtaining some material desire, then the performance of sacrifice in itself is purifying. And because during that process of performing a sacrifice then are performed by brahmanas, and sacrifice are meant for the pleasure. In the Vedic culture, yagya is meant, the beneficiary of yagya, or the deity of that receive the offerings, is Lord Vishnu. So in itself, the whole process purifies. So gradually, people start to elevate their consciousness. And you see like that, you know, you see many, we have the experience of, you know, we meet people that initially comes to the temple for purposes, still for the same ritualistic karmakanda type of mentality. You know, always remember the picture of the guy in Tohoku that will stand for like half an hour in one feet. Remember, you know, standing in one leg in front of the deities, you know, just, you know, regularly would come. And praying from some elevation, some better material position, you know, and situation. And there will be the guy who also will come regularly with a coconut, you know, and this was this guy. He will come, he will offer the coconut and, you know, and pray for wealth like that. So it would quite a bargain, you know, you give a coconut and you get, you know, material wealth. but you come to the temple and somehow or other you get into the kirtans and the classes and like that. You see people that sit like that. Eventually something starts to go in. And you start to, by the purification, it happens to us too. You know, as purification takes place, then something starts to open. Oh, this is what it means. Then, oh, this makes sense. Oh, you know, you go further and further. So, it's designed like that. And right now, because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, this supercharged advancement is available to everybody. Like, you know, if one comes in contact with the process of devotional service, and specifically one gets involved in this Sankirtan Yagya, it's powerful what it can do. The effect that it has on people that are ritualistic and things like that, something goes in. And somehow or other, they feel this attraction that they don't understand towards the deities, towards the devotees, towards the philosophy. They just pull in, even though they still hold to their, you know, whatever conceptions they have, they still draw in. You see it all the time. And then eventually, you just, Krishna, you know, Lord Chaitanya's mercy just take over. So, therefore, we have to exercise, as preachers and devotees, we exercise, you know, this respect. We respect that everybody have their timing, and we just keep giving, you know, prasadam, holy name, the philosophy, and, you know, with in a respectful, thoughtful manner. And then, you know, it's a matter of time. Jai Baladev, keep it short, okay? This is 8:25. I was not prepared for giving a class.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you for your class. I'll just make a comment. You don't have to answer any questions since consideration of time, but this is one of my favorite topics because you were mentioning anything we do, anything we want to achieve requires some sacrifice. Like in sports, they sacrifice so much, but to become the best. And similarly, in this verse talks about austerity is meant to become the best, even in the name of spirituality. So this is one of my favorite points because we see in the scriptures that there are basically two kinds of austerities or difficulties. Those who perform the difficulty of honoring others and those who perform difficulties to be honored by others. We see Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad performed the difficulty of honoring his father. Now, nobody will honor somebody who tries to throw you off a mountain. But he says, my dear father, I wish you well. And Hiranyakashipu, he performed difficulties to be honored by others. He had his skin eaten by ants. He was buried in the ground. His name means one who loves money and women. But he was even willing to perform the austerity of celibacy for thousands of years just to be the best. But there was one austerity Hiranyakashipu couldn't perform. He couldn't perform the easy austerity of forgiving and tolerating Prahlad, who merely disagreed with them. So we see in our spiritual life, we could do so many Akadashis, chant so many rounds, but if we had the festival of, we have the festival of holy name, chanting so many rounds, but if we had the festival of honoring others, our enemies, or honoring people we can't stand, don't sign me up for that festival. Sign me up for a million rounds like Haridas Thakur. So there's a nice, I'll just share with you a nice verse by Prabhupada's disciple, and that's my last point. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 19, verse 36 through 39. This is from the purport of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada's disciple says, if one is not tolerant of the insults and abuse of others, nor tolerant of the inconveniences that may arise from following authorized religious scriptures, it is simply foolishness for him to make a whimsical show of tolerating extreme heat, cold, and pain, and so on, just to impress others. Same with chanting the holy name. This verse from Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 16 says, even if we chant the holy name for many births, this austerity, if we're not performing the austerity of Trinadapisuni chain, of Prabhupada mentions in a purport, then we're practically wasting our time. We get some benefit, but we're not reaching our fullest potential. And we see this. So Prabhupada also verifies this verse in the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 4, verse 5. So anyone can read that for references. So anyways, thanks for letting me share those favorite points I like to keep in mind.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your class. Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Just 2 minutes more. Yes, back to Alex.
Thanks, Prabhu. Just kind of have a quick question. I was thinking about this morning. You mentioned it many times in your class about meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And I was trying to do this morning, and seemingly to me it's like a mystical conception, like Krishna's feet, and just simply by thinking them, you know, you're saying how our intelligence is, our buddhi is not, you know, shuddha. And to me, it just seems like a mythical conception, like mythological. Like, I'll just think about God's feet and everything's good. It's difficult to understand. I know it's like, understand your spiritual master's orders and stuff like that, but still, to me, because I'm a neophyte bhakta, I'm like, I just think about these blue feet all day and everything's good. Or how do I? Yeah, or understand Krishna's lotus feet is what I'm asking, I guess.
These are things that it will be perfectly revealed. That's our north. You know, we're in a path and we're going to a destination, and we know that, you know, what the goal is. And but, you know, when you're crossing the ocean in a boat and you're going to whatever destination, Spain, something, and, you know, you just see the ocean and the ocean, the ocean is unlimited. But if you have the right direction, you know that you're going there. You know that you're going to reach. And at one point, you're going to see the land. So so similarly, we're in the process. At this moment, for us, in depending on where we at in our path, then we have to focus. We have to focus on the situation that we are. The principle remains the same, this focus, very focused, single-pointed focus, vyavyasayatmika buddhi, throughout. But if we're not seeing Krishna face to face, if we're not able to, you know, yeah, even, you know, seeing Krishna face to face is, you know, something like, you know, and the Krishna speak to us, you know, that the Kishore Kishore is speaking to us like that, you know, directly. Like, today I was bathing the deities and, you know, serving them. But, you know, imagine Shishira Damodar in Vrindavan messing around with Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami will have to, please be still, I need to dress you. Because he was moving and dancing and playing and things like that, and, you know, like a child. So, how to imagine that position? So then, but for us, right now, what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says to us, the instruction that he gave us in this Vyavyasayatmika Buddhi verse, is that everything that exists for me, the only thing that I'm, the definition of this Vyavyas, this single-pointed intelligence, is my focus on fulfilling the orders of my spiritual master. And that's our focus right now. You do that, that's the lotus feet of Krishna, because, you know, like I say, Siguru Charana Padma. So that is the lotus feet. And then, you know, as we go on, at one point we're going to see it. We're going to see everything will be revealed. We have to be, you know, enthusiastic and patient and have faith in the process. Utsaha nishchara dharyat. So, and then, you know, everything will be on time. Garantarashimam Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.